and the worship team. I was going to start singing during the worship there, but I didn't want to spoil it for everybody. Amen. Amen. You can take your seats, please. Glory to God. Worship team, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm just going to continue on with tonight's message and tonight's topic on character. And I just want to, before I go into preaching the word tonight, just want to thank the Lord for my salvation. Amen. I was a messed up heroin addict, messed up alcoholic and homeless, and, in a bad place. But, amen. You know, the Lord's grace came and saved me, came and pulled me out of that miry clay. Amen. Set my feet upon a solid rock. Amen. I stand here tonight a very, very, very grateful man. Amen. I thank Sister Vicky and Pastor Paul and, like Brian said, all the leadership for giving us an opportunity, amen, to come and to preach and to, you know, to learn and to come and share what God has put in our hearts. So as time is getting on, I just want to just turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. If you can just turn it to chapter 4. And I just want to follow on in a theme, basically, and just carry on from what Brian was, I'm glad he stopped, amen, because I thought he was going to start preaching my message. Amen, it seems to be every time I preach after Brian, amen, I have to try and arrange my scriptures again because Brian's already preached them. Amen. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. Amen. Man, I was going, I hope he doesn't say that one, But praise the Lord, amen. I thank God for Brian. You know, again, and those that don't know, you know, me and Brian went through the men's home together in London. 2001, we were in there, the two of us were messed up on drugs. Amen, but God has us here, you know, preaching God's word. Amen, amen. And that's all the glory to God, amen. Nehemiah chapter 4, I'm going to be reading a part of it, and then I'm going to be flipping to another scripture, and then I'm just going to go straight in. The Bible reads tonight, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. The Bible reads Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 1. Sanballat was very angry when he learned that we were rebuilding the wall. He flew into a rage and mocked the Jews, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan officers, "What does that bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they're doing? Do they think they can build a wall in a single day by just offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think they can make something of the stones from rubbish heap? And charred ones at that." Tobiah the Ammonite, who was standing beside him, remarked, "That stone would collapse, that stone wall would collapse, even if a fox walked along the top of it." Verse 4 says, "And then I prayed, 'Hear us, O God, for we are being mocked. May their scoffing fall back on their own heads, and may they themselves become captives in a foreign land. Do not ignore their guilt, and do not blot out their sins, for they have provoked you to anger here in front of the builders.' And at last the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. And when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the work was going ahead and that the gaps in the walls of Jerusalem were being repaired, they were furious. They all made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. But we prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. Then the people of Judah began to complain, 'The workers are getting tired. There is so much rubble to be removed. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves.' Meanwhile, in verse 11, our enemies were saying, 'Before they know what's happening, we will swoop down on them and kill them and end their work.' Verse 12 says, 'The Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, they will come from all directions and attack us. So I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas. I stationed the people to stand guard by families armed with swords, spears, and bows. Then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, 'Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes.'" Before we go any further, we're going to pray. Father, we thank you tonight, my God, for your amazing grace. We thank you, God, that you fight for us. We thank you, God, that the enemy may seem like it's coming in 12 directions, God, but we know which direction you look for you. We pray in the name of Jesus, my God, that you would release the ministry of your Holy Spirit, that, my God, that we continue to move in this place. My God, touch every open heart and penetrate, my God, every hard heart, right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, my God, that we would leave this place not the same, but transformed in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Praise God. If you're going to title this message tonight, the title of this message will be, Don't Throw in the Towel. Don't throw in the towel. So I've just read from Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1 through to verse 14. And how many know we've heard the story of Nehemiah before, those of us that have kind of been around a little bit. We've heard that Nehemiah was a cupbearer. We heard that he was a man that had heard that Jerusalem was lying in a place of disrepair, was lying in a place of embarrassment, and was lying in a place, this place that had once been a hustling, bustling metropolis place, a place of God, where God's glory was, a place where God's glory's people were. But when it came to Nehemiah at this time, the building or Jerusalem in itself had became a place of reproach. It became a place of embarrassment. It became a place where there was no glory there, just embarrassment. We see in chapter 1 and chapter 2, we see in Nehemiah, in chapter 2 especially, we see in chapter 1 that he gets the call that people come and tell him that there's a problem in another land. We see that family members or friends or cousins, I'm not quite sure exactly who it is right now, but somebody came and told them that there was a need in another place. And how many know, listen, that sometimes we have to understand that God knows where the need is. And God will send people at the right time and at the right place. You see, as Colin said earlier, you may notice a lot of people missing, even our pastors, Pastor Paul and Pastor Kevin are gone, and some of the pastoral team and some of the people are helping up there in Liverpool right now, because God sees that there is a work that needs done. You see, Liverpool is a beautiful city. Liverpool is an amazing city. The only thing that I can't quite work out is the shell suits and the accent. I mean, I'm sure they might look at us in Manchester and think we're pretty weird. Amen. But I love Liverpool, man. I love the people. They're very friendly. And there was a work that started in Liverpool many years ago. But for whatever reason, it kind of ceased and it kind of stopped and it kind of grinded to a halt. But how many know that God does not deafen his ears to the cry of his people? That God doesn't deafen his ears to the cry of his people. We have to understand that. And God has a way of getting a word to people. God has a way and a time of making people know this city needs Jesus. This city needs to be rebuilt and restored. But see, the problem is that many times, and many times we know that something needs to be done, and many times that we know that there's a building work needing done someplace, and we're quick to tell people that there's work needing done, but we never actually get out of our comfort chairs and go and do the work. It's like an armchair football fan. Anybody watch football, and we sit there and we say, oh, I could do that better. Oh, well, he should play 4-4-2. Why is he putting him on? Anybody ever been like that before? An armchair supporter. Turn around and tell your neighbour, don't be an armchair supporter. Amen. Get involved. So we see that Nehemiah had this call, and he felt this burden in his spirit, because Nehemiah was a man that loved God. And see, when we see all through the book of Nehemiah, it wasn't so much that Nehemiah wanted to go and rebuild Jerusalem so that everybody would know that Nehemiah rebuilt Jerusalem. He was more interested in the glory coming back to God. He was more interested in God getting the glory than himself. And see, this is another thing that we have to be careful for, is when we have a vision, or we have a burden in our heart, and we have a burden in our spirit, that we need to be aware that whatever we're doing, that we're doing it for God. And whatever we're building for God. Amen. We don't have any time for Babylonian empires in this time, in this day and age. We're not building so that our name can be glorified. When I was in America, amen, we were driving through and we came out of Macy's store. Pastor was in getting Sister Vicky a little blessing. Amen. We came out of Macy's store, and right in front of us was the Trump Tower. Massive, big, gold, shiny thing standing there. Palm trees all around it. Capital T on the side of it, and Trump right along the front of it. But wow. Hey, amen, there's a Babylonian empire right there. Somebody who's building a name for himself. Somebody who's building an empire so that his name can be known. But Nehemiah had this burden in his heart that he wanted God, he had this burden that he wanted God to get the glory again. We see in chapter 3 of Nehemiah, we see that Nehemiah then began to go and scout out the land. We see that he never just steamed in head first and just with a star, let me see. He went in and scouted out the land. You see, you may be wondering tonight, you may be saying, Brother Mark, where are you going with this? I thought this is character month. Well, further on down the line, you'll understand, and I'll explain a little bit more to you, that when you build anything for God, the enemy will come against your character. The enemy will come against you. He'll come against your family. He'll come against your ministry. He'll come against your finances. He'll come against anything. If he can't stop you from building, he wants to slow you down. He wants to make you fearful. He wants to make you doubt God. He wants to make you question God. He wants to take your vision away. He wants, come on somebody, I'm talking here tonight. Don't throw the towel in. Romans chapter 12. I'm just going to turn there briefly. You don't have to turn there. But Romans chapter 12. You know, we know the living sacrifice part, but I ain't going to focus on that part. I'm going to go straight to verse 3. And it says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are any better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Don't think of yourself as any better than you really are. Be honest in the evaluation of yourself. Now we're in June, it's the 6 months of the year. You know, the reason I know that is because it's my birthday this month. Amen. I'm not going to tell you what date it is, but it's in between 27 and 24. All presents received. Just come and bring them on a Sunday, it's cool. I've got a van there, don't worry, there's enough room for them. But amen. There's I thought I'd put that out there right there. But praise God. So Nehemiah in chapter 2, we see that he went and scouted the land. We see that he went and had a look under darkness. We see that he took a few disciples with him, but he left them at a certain part, and he went in and he had a look, and he scouted out the land, and what he done was he looked at the foundations. What he done was he looked at what was left. He looked at what was left, and he looked to see what he could use again. So when we pick up here in chapter 4, I say all of this again because I'm likening the rebuilding of Jerusalem to the building that we do in our own life. You know, in Christian circles or in Christian terms, you know, we call our life Jerusalem. Well, sort out Jerusalem first before you take anywhere else. Amen. Anybody ever heard that saying? We are our own little Jerusalem. You know, we are our own little holy temple. We are our own little place where God's glory dwells. Amen. So I'm focusing on that. So keep that in mind as I'm preaching tonight. So it says here that the enemies oppose the rebuilding. Sanballat was very angry when he learned that we were rebuilding the wall. He flew into a rage and mocked the Jews, saying in front of his friends and Samaritan officers, what does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they are doing? Do they think they can build the wall in a single day just by offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think that they can make something of stones from a rubbish heap and charred ones at that? When I was thinking about character, and when I was looking at the topic of character, I was sharing with some brothers just before I came up here earlier, I really, really struggled to try and pin down anything to speak on. I had a few scriptures, as you do, you know, oh, I could use that and I could use this. But then as I was worshipping on Monday in the van as I was driving to Anthony Evans' song, Take Over, and the next minute the Holy Spirit just took over. And he just started to download all of this stuff into me. He just started to pour into me. And I thought, you know what? Praise the Lord. Because listen, one thing that's going on in this church at the minute is we're trying to build a place for God's glory to dwell. Amen. We are personally, amen, in this church and in this congregation, it's just about to start a building plan. Amen. We are just about to start, amen, building a place where God's glory will come, where God's people will come, amen, where finances will come, where God's walls will be lifted up again. And when I began to realize this and began to look at it, I began to see myself in it as well. Because how many know that any time you set out to build for God, amen, the opposition will always come. Any time you make a step to step out for God, anytime you say, God, I'll go, anytime you say, God, I'll help, anytime you stand up and say, I'm going to do this for God, then the enemy will oppose the rebuilding. And when I was thinking about this earlier, and I was talking about the building plan, and I'm looking and I'm thinking, well, Lord, we're in a building plan right now. God, this place isn't in a disgrace. Lord, this place isn't in a state of disrepair. However, we want to upgrade it and we want to do it up and we want more people to come through. We want more people to pass through. We want more people to come into this place. We want more people to experience God in this place. We want more people to be filled with the Spirit in this place. We want more people to come in this place, be blessed, stay in this place, go out, come back, be blessed, and be sent out filled with the Holy Spirit. We want this to be a base for God's people. We want this to be a place where people can come from other parts of the world and experience the presence of God. This is what we're trying to build in this place, Victory Outreach Manchester. We're trying to build a place where people can come and experience the presence of God. They can come and experience people of God. They can come and experience worship that pleases God. They can come and experience the whole service that is planned out to please God. But any time we try and build and put our hands to the plough, the enemy will come and oppose the building. You see, and what I was looking for, and then the character of a godly man and the character of a godly woman should be that of prayer. It should be that of prayer. If you're not a man of prayer and not a man or a woman of prayer, then I would have to question your relationship with God. You see, because there's one thing here that struck me when I was reading this. I've read this many, many times. But when the enemy comes and he comes to take your vision away. But first of all, he comes to try and stop you from ever getting started. He comes to try and stop you before you ever get started. You see, it says in verse 1 there that Sanballat and that came when they heard that they were thinking about rebuilding the wall. And see, if you are under it right now and the enemy is attacking you right now, it's because there is potential in what you're planning to do. You see, if you're not planning to do anything, if you're just one of them that's all mouth and all talk and can't carry it out, see, there's plenty of people like that. There's plenty of people that will stand back and say, I have a vision. There's plenty of people that will stand back and say, you need to be out in the streets. Listen, you need to pick that up. Listen, you need to do that. But what are you doing about it? There's plenty of people that can shout for the bandstands. There's plenty of people that can shout vision and shout commitment and shout dignity and shout loyalty. But where are you when the building work starts?
I believe there was many people that saw Jerusalem was in a state of repair. I believe there was many people that would say, oh, I wish somebody would get busy on Jerusalem. Oh, I wish somebody would start building Jerusalem. Oh, but Jerusalem used to be beautiful. Oh, Jerusalem used to be beautiful. Oh, Jerusalem used to, you know, Jerusalem was called the holy city. It was a city where God says, I'm jealous of. It was a city where Jesus ascended and Jesus is coming back. It's a city where the disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost in the day of Pentecost. It's a city that's close to God's heart. And there's plenty of people that know stuff and places and people that are close to God's heart, but all they can do is stand back and shout and stand back and point fingers and stand back and say this needs done and that needs done and that needs done. But what are you going to do about it? It's okay to have vision. It's okay to talk big. It's okay to say big words. Califragilistic. Spelladocious. See, it's all right to say big words, but I can't even spell it. You see, it's all right to talk big. And we like to talk big. But it's time that we put some feet to the talk. Many people, if you're going through it right now, you're going through it because because God has a plan for your life. If you're going through some madness right now, some warfare right now, the enemy is coming against you and bringing accusations against you. If the enemy is coming and saying, you're never going to make anything of your life. You're just a washed up ex-drug addict. If somebody comes and says, you're just a washed up single mother. If somebody comes, the enemy will come up and say, you're just a washed up single person. You've been on a shelf too long. Nobody wants you. Nobody's going to love you. Nobody's going to want you for life. Listen, it's because you're building something. It's because you're worth something. It's because the enemy sees worth in you. That's why he's trying to get you to stop right now. That's why he's trying to get you to put off right now. That's why he's trying to get you to throw in the towel right now. But I believe that when I was preaching this to myself, how many know a preacher preaches it to himself? I was saying to myself, Brother Mark, don't throw the towel in. Brother Mark, don't throw the towel in. You're building something for God. You're building something for God. The reason the devil's coming is because you're building something for God. The reason the enemy's coming is because you're building something for God. The reason the enemy's whispering in your ear because he wants you to stop. But listen, some trust in horses and some trust in chariots. I had to get my scripture in, amen. So the enemy knows. That's one of the reasons I believe that Victory Outreach, man, that's one of the reasons we get smashed. Man, listen, man, we get hit tough, man. Man, we get hit tough. I was sitting all day thinking, man, I'm the only person that cares. Nobody else cares, man. It's just me. Nobody ever phones me and asks me if I'm all right, you know. But how many know? Listen, how many know? How many know that he comes? The enemy comes and whispers to you. Nobody loves you. Nobody's going to want you. Nobody's going to listen to you. Nobody's going to employ you. That's only because there's potential in your life. That's only because you're starting to build something. That's only because the enemy sees. Listen, if you get started, there ain't no stopping you. Listen, you're going to be like a runaway locomotive. Listen, you're going to fly through every barrier. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that film where that train's unstoppable. In fact, that's what it's called, unstoppable. You are unstoppable for God. You're building for God. You're unstoppable for God. Nothing's going to hold you back. Nothing's going to slow you down. I'm building for God's kingdom. Nothing is going to stop me now. I'm not going to throw the towel in. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to step back, but I'm going to go forward for Jesus Christ. In verse 3, Sambalat comes back with one of his little cronies this time, Tobiah the Ammonite. I see that he was standing beside him and he remarked, How many know you get them people that just remark? You're standing there and, you know, and somebody just quits, just off the remark. And you're like, who are you? Where did you come from? Hey man, this brother obviously needs a home. But how many know that you'll always get people that remark? That stone wall would collapse even if a fox walked on top of it. You always get people remarking, hey, they're never going to make it. No, they've failed. No, they've slid four times now. They're never going to make it. Nah, it's remark. It's only because you're building something. Verse 4 is what I want to share on right now, and what I want to focus on, that a man and a woman of prayer, a character, should be a man and woman of prayer. You see, the enemy started to come against them. The enemy was coming, and, you know, do they think they can build? Can you actually make something out of rubbish heap and charred ones at that? And, you know, anybody ever felt like that? The enemy just talks to you like that. Listen, man, you've passed the scrap heap now. You know, look at you, man. You're never going to make it. And then you get his little sidekick coming up, remarking. De-de-de-de-de-de. But Nehemiah's response was, then I prayed. Hear us, O God. We are being mocked. May the scoffing fall back in their own heads. And may they themselves become captives in a foreign land. Do not ignore their guilt and do not blot out their sins, for they have provoked you to anger here in front of the builders. You see, many times when people come and the enemy comes and whispers, and the enemy brings accusations, and the enemy comes with negativity and doubt, many times we begin to high-five the devil. Many times we begin to take a Bible study off him, and we begin to write down notes, and we say, oh, he's preaching well today, the devil, man. He's preaching well, man. He's even preaching the scriptures today. He's talking just to me. You ever sat in a preaching right now, and you ever sat under the voice of God and the voice of a preacher, and thought, that preacher's talking to me right now? Well, how many know that the enemy can whisper in your ear just the same? Whisper, 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 whisper. So the enemy came against them, and step one was Nehemiah counteracted. Boom. Then I prayed. Verse 6 says, at last the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city, for the people who had worked with enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. So the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. You see, brothers and sisters, right now, we stand in the month of June. I was only joking a little, and it is my birthday, but I was only joking about reminding everybody about it. Amen. But we stand at the halfway point of the year. In verse 6, it says, the wall was completed to half its height around the city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. We stand in the 6th month right now, the 5th day of the 6th month. It's halfway through the year. Brothers and sisters, we've been working with enthusiasm. Our hands have been on the plow. Our hands have been busy. Some of us, we only just scraped into this week. Some of us, we've just scraped through the last 6 months. But listen, if you manage to get a wall halfway, then you can make it all the way. Listen, you have to understand that if the enemy can't get you at the beginning, then just like when the enemy came and tempted Jesus in the wilderness, the Bible says that the enemy left him for an opportune time. You see, he might have bet him on Monday, but he'll be back. Tell your neighbor, he'll be back. It's no Arnold Schwarzenegger either. But we've been busy. We've been a busy church. We've been laboring for the last 6 months. We've been building. We're at a place now where we can see things changing. We can see that not just, this was what God showed me, not just that we're building a wall, but we've been building a wall in the entire city. That we are not just some little church in the corner. That we are a church that affects the city. You see, we're a church that's been bowed and we've been laboring. You see, we've been working hard. In chapter 3, we see that there's many different people that repaired the gates and repaired the walls. Many different people with many gifts and many talents. There was woodworkers, there was metal workers, there was every kind of worker. You see, it's going to take every kind of worker to advance the kingdom of God. You see, it's not only Victory Outreach in the kingdom of God. You see, there's the lighthouse in the kingdom of God. You see, there's Audacious in the kingdom of God. You see, there's people with different skills and different mixes and different gifts. But listen, Victory Outreach, we have a place to play. We have a part to play. Listen, we have to continue to keep building. Yes, we've been building with enthusiasm. Yes, we've been busy. Yes, we've been focused. Yes, we've been laboring hard. But listen, if the enemy's coming, it's only because he knows that you can finish. Oh, the enemy's coming because he knows that you can see the end. And in verse 7 it says that then Sanballat and Tobiah, they came back, but how many know they came back with some of the cronies now? The Ammonites and the Ashdodites. They heard, see, this is what happens. This is what happens. If he can't, you know, if he can't get you on his own, he'll come back with more. More people will start to talk about you, hello. More people will say you can't make it, hello. More people will talk negative about you behind your back, hello. Obviously this doesn't happen in Victory Outreach, I'm talking about another church here. But the enemy will come back. He's relentless. He's relentless. He's relentless. But we serve a God who is greater. We serve a God who is more powerful. We serve a God who is above all gods. He is the only God, the great I Am. He is the only true living God. He's the Elohim. He's the El Shaddai. Listen, he is the God of all gods. There is no other God to worship. There is no other God to bow down to. Listen, these people have false idols. These people look at wooden and carved images. These people bow down to golden calves. But listen, we hit our knees and we get before God Almighty. We get before El Shaddai. We get before Elohim. We get before the Almighty. And we say, God, help us. Lord, advance us. Lord, keep us. Lord, help me not to throw in the towel. So they came back with some other people. Verse 8 said, then they all made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. Don't the enemy just love to get you confused, man? Don't he just love to get you confused? And when you're sitting on the end of your bed thinking, am I saved? Man, I sure don't feel holy today. Amen. I know, I'm talking the truth here. We get confused sometimes. But it's the enemy is the author of confusion. In verse 9, and this is a charge that's coming to use people right now. The first time, in verse 4, Nehemiah said, when they were coming against them, when there was only one or two of them, he said, then I prayed. In verse 9, when the enemy came back with more mates and more enemy, it says, but we prayed. But we prayed. You see, it changed in four verses from I prayed to we prayed. It's the power of prayer. It's the power of unity in prayer. You see, listen, last season, you maybe got through on your own. But I believe for this next 6 months and the second half of the year, it's going to be a joint effort. We're going to need to pray for each other. We're going to need to look out for each other. We're going to have each other's backs. Then we prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. Verse 10, it said, then the people of Judah began to complain. Oh, no way. The workers were getting tired. And there is so much rubble to be removed. You know what that signifies? is when you take your eyes off God and take your eyes on your situation. Because if you're looking at God, you don't see the rubble.
I'm going to say that again.
When you begin to look at your situation, you begin to see the mess. You begin to see the work that needs done. But when you keep your eyes on God. So the enemy's plan is, if he can get you to doubt, can they make anything of themselves? And if he can't get you confused, then he'll come with a lack of vision. You'll start to look at your problems and think, my problems are bigger than God. My situation's bigger than God. There's too much work here. I can't do it on my own. There's too much rubble to be removed. Then this is what they said. We will never be able. Listen, you will never be able. You will never be able. But God is able. You see, we work from God. We work in the power of God. We stay close to God in prayer. Men and women of prayer. That when the enemy comes, we pray. When the enemy comes, we get together and pray. You see, listen, we're not falling for the deceit of the enemy no more. We're not falling for the plan of the devil no more. We're not falling for his lies. You're never going to make anything of yourself. You're never going to make it. Don't throw in the towel. Meanwhile, our enemies are saying, before we know what's happening, we will swoop down on them and we will kill them and end their work. And in verse 12 said, then the Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, they will come from all directions and attack us. You see, the enemy got them that confused and that scared that they even begun to talk amongst themselves and say, listen, the enemy's coming every direction here. Listen, man, the enemy's getting too much for us, man. Listen, the enemy's coming from the left and the right. We just can't handle it no more. You see, the enemy will come around you and he'll try and get you scared and he'll try and get negative and he'll try and make you negative. And I'm never going to be able to build this wall and I'm never going to be able to move this rubble and I'm never going to be able to make anything of my life. But listen, my Bible says that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us today. But listen, it takes falling to our knees on prayer. It takes being a man and woman of character who know that when the enemy's coming, that we pray. That when the enemy comes, we pray. That when the enemy comes, we pray. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, my friend, but they are mighty through God and pulling down strongholds. We see through all 4, 5 and 6, we see that in chapter 5, we see that Nehemiah was more instructing his people after he heard their complaints. And he heard them complaining, and he heard them mumbling. And in chapter 6, it says that the continued opposition to rebuilding. Nehemiah's response to the enemy's taunts and the enemy's words and the enemy's discouragement and the enemy's fear and the enemy's doubt was, I'm engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why should I stop working and come and meet with you? Verse 9 says in chapter 6, they were just trying to intimidate us. Imagine what they could discourage us and stop the work. So I continued to work with even greater determination. You see, this is the response you get when you begin to focus on God and not the rubble. This is the response that you get when you hit your knees and call in heaven. I say, heaven, come and hit this earth right now. Lord, I'm doing your work. Lord, I'm building your kingdom. Lord, I ain't got time to go and talk about squabbles over there. I ain't got time to go and listen to the enemy over there. Lord, so I continued that work with even greater determination. Listen, brother and sister, whatever work you're in right now, don't let the enemy take you off track. Don't let the enemy pull you down. But be like Nehemiah that said, so I continued the work with even greater determination. So what's important about Jerusalem? What's so important about Jerusalem? What is was it that Nehemiah saw in Jerusalem? Obviously, at the beginning, I told you it was a holy city. It was one where God was jealous of. It was important. Even Jesus wept for it. It's important. It's close to God's heart. In 1967, there was a thing called the Six-Day War. In 1948, Israel regained status of being a country again. There was many oppositions to that, but it took place, because how many know that God's work will always take place? In 1967, in June the 6th of 1967, tomorrow, June the 5th today, 1967, on June the 6th, the people came against Israel on the Sabbath day because they knew that they weren't allowed to work. Oh, he's sneaky, man. He gets you when you're chilling. He gets you when you're off your guard. That's cool, man. That's my day off a day. I don't need to pray. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Huh? Starbucks and Krispy Kremes. But how many know that he comes when you're not watching? He comes when your guard's down. He comes when you're not looking and not expecting it the most. In May of that year of 1967, we read through manuscripts in history that in May of that year in 1967, that the enemy, that they sent out a warning to Jerusalem, and they sent out a warning to the people of Israel, and basically said, listen, we ain't going to allow you to take back Jerusalem. We will come against you with everything we have. Obviously, there was talks, and talks broke down. But what happened was, on June the 6th, 1967, it was a Sabbath day, and the Israelites were chilling, they were kicking back, you know, they were probably sipping Starbucks or Costa, whatever you prefer. But then the enemy came when they weren't looking. But this is what happened, was the Israelites were outnumbered 50-1. 50-1, there was 300 planes in the sky from surrounding nations to try and bombard Israel to stop them marching forward. But listen, what happened was, on the second day of the Six-Day War, God came through. Israel defeated all the surrounding nations and took back Jerusalem. You say, well, Brother Mark, why is that important? Because, listen, something else important happened in 1967. You see, there was a great charismatic revival started in 1967. All over America and all over the world, the Holy Spirit of God, when Jerusalem came back to its righteous place, when Jerusalem came back under the power of its own people, when God was beginning to recalculate and bring stuff back into place and line with fulfillment of prophecy. Matthew 24, verse 32 and 35 talks about the fig tree being restored and it's starting to bear fruit. For this generation shall see the day that the Lord has come. This is what happened in 1967. And listen, the Holy Spirit of God was poured out. All charismatic movements started in 1967. There was a man called Sonny Agonzoni who never threw the towel in. There was a man in 1967 that said, God, I'm going forward for you. The enemy may come, doubt may come, fear may come, but I'm not throwing in the towel. God, you've called me. God, you'll keep me. God, you'll raise me. God, you'll save me. I'm not thrown in the towel. And we stand here today because somebody never threw the towel in. We stand here today because Pastor Ed Morales gave his life on the battlefield. We stand here today because Pastor Mitchell and the elders of this ministry, they never threw the towel in. But listen, if we're going to see another 46, another 50 years, if we're going to see this ministry picked up and raised, if we're going to see God's glory come in this place, if we're going to build our lives and be men and women of character, then we need to be men and women that pray. When I was in London, living in the London church, I remember going to Pastor Mitchell's, been saved 35 years, still getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, every morning. And you'd think, well, I don't need to do that anymore, man. 35 years saved. I don't need to get up at 5. But how many know that's the reason why he's 35 years saved? Because he's up every morning praying at 5. He never threw the towel in. He never quit when the enemy tried to stop him. He never quit when stuff was coming against him. He never quit when the enemy was trying to speak lies into his life. Say, you're never going to make any. Listen, you're a pastor. You're trailing your kids all over the world. Listen, they're never going to get a proper education. Listen, don't listen to the enemy. Listen, God will educate your children. Listen, God will educate your spouse. Listen, God will educate it. Keep focused on the work of God. Do not throw in your towel. Men's home, do not throw in the towel. Church, do not throw in the towel. Listen, you may be on the ropes right now. You may be rope-a-doping. You may be taking punches everywhere. But don't throw in the towel. Let's stand to your feet. Hallelujah. The worship team back up. Thank you, Jesus.